1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. That's in the New Testament. That's going to be toward the back of your Bible. If you find one book that starts with a T, you're close. All the T books are right there together. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And if you want to, you can flip over to Romans chapter 7 and put you a finger in Romans chapter 7. Some of you say, oh my, two passages, we're going to be here twice as long. I might surprise you. We might be out quicker than you think. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and you can stick a finger in Romans chapter 7. Both of these books are written by the Apostle Paul. We'll read 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15 and 16, then we'll pray and get started. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. But I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this beautiful word today and the hope that comes with it. God, I pray that you'd meet us where we are today, God. You know our hearts. You know the sins that we fall into. You know the evils that we commit, dear Lord, and those things are not good. And you're not okay with those things, and we should not be okay with those things, dear Lord, but even in the midst of those things in our life, dear Lord, the nastiness, we thank you that you love us and that you're patient with us. God, not that we would continue in those ways, but that we would repent of those sins. And so, God, I pray today that as we look at these words of the Apostle Paul, that we would know that there is hope for us today. Pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, that I would preach and teach in a way that brings glory and honor to you, God, that people don't see me, but that they see you, dear Lord. There's no good word I can say that'll do anything if it does not come from you. So may your word be glorified today. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Now, we hold the Apostle Paul in pretty high regard. You know, he's pretty big guy in the New Testament. And he wrote a large portion of the New Testament and did great works for the kingdom of God as he would go on his missionary journeys and he would go to all these different places. And he was a man who was about the work of God and suffered great persecution and imprisonment and just really suffered in great ways to do the work of Jesus Christ. But Paul was not always so zealous for God, at least not in the right way. He was a pretty zealous man for God, or so he thought he was, but really all Paul was a religious man. He was not a righteous man. Now we want to make sure that we understand that there is a difference between being religious and being righteous. Religion is going to church. Religion is maybe reciting some prayer. Religion is maybe being involved in some ministry, and religion maybe is just putting some money in the offering plate. And the righteous do those things as well. The righteous person does gather with other believers. The righteous person does read their Bible. The righteous person does pray. The righteous person does give to the causes of the Lord to serve the kingdom of God. The righteous person does those things. But the difference is the righteous person seeks first the kingdom of God and does those things for God and desires to live for God and to serve God and to follow Jesus Christ. And there are many religious people that really haven't grasped the Word of God. And they are happy in their religion. And they feel secure in their religion. They say, okay, well, I come to church occasionally, and I do put some money in the plate, and I do pray sometimes, and that ought to be good enough. But religion is not good enough. Because our problem is not just that God wants us to come to church a little bit, and that's enough. Our real problem is our sin. And so our religion cannot atone for our sin. Now, there are a lot of religious people who have walked the face of this earth. And they have done a lot of religious things. And on the outside, they really look the part. They really look like that they are people who are serving God. But the problem is, we need to get this, the problem is that God doesn't look at what's on the outside. He looks at what's on the inside. And that's the problem with the Apostle Paul, and maybe some of us here today or some who are watching online. The problem is sometimes we just fall into the cycle of religion. And we think that that's going to be enough. And we have some knowledge of God, but we really don't know God fully. We know the Word of God, but we really don't understand or comprehend the Word of God. And we get so caught up in our religion that we go through check all the right boxes without ever really knowing and trusting and living for God. Now, the Apostle Paul, he was a pretty zealous man for God. There wouldn't have been people that would have known more about the Word of God, the law of God, than Paul. He would have knew the Scripture, what we call the Old Testament. Paul would have knew that very well. He would have been able to say the best prayers probably, and he would have been the one who would have been meeting in the synagogue, and Paul would have been right there. Because in his mind, he was a godly man. But he really wasn't. He really wasn't a godly man at all. He was a religious man, but he had missed the truth of God's Word. Now, Paul is not alone. We're not just picking on Paul here. There were a lot of people in the New Testament. And these are the ones that we see that are approaching Jesus pretty regularly. So Jesus will go out and he'll do some great work. He'll perform some miracle. He'll feed, you know, thousands of people with a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. And he'll raise people from the dead. And he'll cause the blind to see and the deaf to hear. And Jesus would do all these things. And there were some that would say, whoa, this guy, there's something about this guy. But then there would be others who would come and challenge him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, experts in the law. These are the terms that we see that describe these people. And these people, Pharisees, Sadducees, all of these types of people, they were very religious. They really would have known the Word of God. But they weren't really living the Word of God. They didn't understand the real significance of putting God first and loving one another. Their satisfaction and their security came in the fact that they were holier than thou. So they didn't associate with the sinners and the tax collectors and all the really evil people because they were holier than that. And that's why Jesus is so phenomenal. Because he comes onto the scene and instantly in the Sermon on the Mount, he begins to teach. And he begins to say, you have heard it said. And he'll quote some Old Testament passage. And what he'll do is he'll say, but here's what it really means. You have heard it said, do this or don't do that or whatever, whatever. But here's the heart, the real heart of the passage. Here's what God really wants you to do. He really wants you to love him, and he really wants you to love your neighbor. These are the things that really matter. And there were a lot of religious people who really knew the Scripture, but didn't understand the heart of what God really wanted. And so they were religious, but their heart was in the wrong place. And so these people constantly attack Jesus all the time. They're attacking Jesus. And ultimately, they nail him to the cross. And Paul was part of this group of people. We look at Paul and we celebrate Paul, but we have to realize that Paul had a past. And it was not a good past. I mean, by all accounts, the people who looked at Paul would have said, hey, Paul is a godly man. But his heart wasn't right. And so Paul, you know, Christianity is beginning to take off. Jesus Christ had come. He had preached that the kingdom of God had come near. He had taught the people. He had led the people in the right way. And some followed him, and he had poured into his apostles. And they were going to continue on the work after Jesus left. And Jesus was crucified, and he was resurrected. And he came back to his apostles, and he said, look, all authority has been given to me. I'm the one who is in control. And therefore, you need to go out and you need to point people toward me. And he sends his apostles out to do the work, and do the work they did. And we know that because here in 2025, look at all these people who are gathered to hear the Word of God and to rejoice in Jesus Christ. Not just in this church, but churches all around this county and all around this state and all around the world. And so the gospel was spread, and the apostles and the early Christians were successful in what they were doing. And the kingdom of God continued to grow. And it will continue to grow. It will not stop. I can guarantee you, I can say that with 100% certainty today, that so long as there are people on planet Earth or Mars or wherever people may end up inhabiting, as long as there are people, the kingdom of God will continue to grow. The gospel will not stop. It will not stop. No matter how many enemies there are of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it will not stop. Paul was one of those enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see in the scripture that Paul was helping to gather up Christians so that they could be persecuted. Now, we're not told that Paul ever persecuted any by his own hand. He may or may not have. But regardless of whether Paul actually took someone's life, he's guilty of it because he turned to men knowing what was going to take place. And so Paul is what he thinks he's doing the Lord's work. Because he's a super religious guy. And then all of a sudden, Paul's life is changed because he encounters Jesus. And that's the difference between being religious and being righteous. It takes an encounter with Jesus. There's a lot of people that go to church their whole life and they're very religious. They can quote some scripture. And then one day, the Holy Spirit begins to convict them and work on their heart. And the Word of God, they begin to read it. And God begins to really work on them. And they realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they encounter Jesus, and it changes their life. And they're not just a religious person on a pew. They are a righteous person. And they are made righteous through Jesus Christ, through His sacrifice, through His blood, through His crucifixion, and through His resurrection. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. We don't come to Jesus Christ without an encounter with Jesus Christ. So one day, Paul, thinking he's doing the Lord's work, he's going down the road, and Jesus Christ comes and he appears to him and he says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Holy smokes. Paul goes blind, but instantly his eyes are open. Spiritual eyes, that is. Instantly he realizes The very gospel he was trying to squash, he realizes it's the truth. He realizes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is the Messiah. And all of the energy and effort Paul had been pouring out was to try to quiet this movement. And now all of a sudden he encounters Jesus Christ, and as bad as his past was, Jesus Christ says, "I want to use you, Paul." His life is changed through Jesus Christ. And then we see in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he says, "This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them." Some of your translations may say, "And I am the chief of these. I am the chief among sinners. Of all the sinners in the world, I am the leader of them. I am such a great sinner, and I have sinned in such great ways against God that I am the chief among all sinners. I am the worst of the worst of the worst." But good news, he says. Good news. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now, we see that all throughout the Scriptures. And that's good news for you and I today. And do you know why? Because we're all sinners. Every one of us has sinned. And some of us in some ways that are just so horrendous. You don't even want to think about it right now. It's things that are so bad that you are so ashamed of, and maybe even living in right now that you wish that you were not, and things that you know are horrible and sinful and against the Word of God and the commands of God and the desires of God, and we get into this state of despair because our sin just crushes us. It just eats us up. And we come on Sundays, and maybe we sit on the pew and we say, man, I know God is good, and I know Jesus Christ is good, but I am so bad. I am so horrible. I am such a sinner. And I don't know what to do. Well, Paul was in the same boat as you. He was the worst of them. He was the chief among sinners. And maybe some of us today would say, yeah, I'll give Paul a run for his money. Maybe I'll knock him out of that seat of chief. And maybe we would. But praise the Lord, Paul says, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. What a beautiful truth. What a beautiful truth. That's why we are here today. Because if Jesus Christ had not have come to save sinners, we'd all be walking around in despair, hopeless. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Now you may say to yourself, I'm too far gone. Well, hold up. Maybe you're not. Maybe you say to yourself, well, yeah, God could use Paul, but he couldn't use me. Well, I want to encourage you to read the Word of God. Because when we begin to read the Word of God, we begin to see that God uses some pretty questionable people. Anybody in here ever heard of Moses? He's a pretty popular guy. You know what Moses did one day? He murdered a man. Killed a man. Anybody in here ever heard of Noah? Probably so, if you ever been to Sunday school as a kid. If you hadn't heard of Noah, he was a righteous guy, and his family was righteous. They were the only righteous people on the whole planet. The rest of the planet was evil, and all they thought about evil was all the time. You say, wait a minute, is that now? Nope, that was back in Noah's day. And God said, I'm going to save righteous Noah and his family. I'm going to flood the whole planet, and everybody else is going to die but Noah. And so God does this miraculous work. He saves righteous Noah and his family. The waters go down. Noah gets off the boat, and you know what the scripture says he does? He gets drunk. You ever heard of Peter, Apostle Peter? Pretty famous guy, really close to Jesus. You always see him with Jesus in a lot of these stories. He's one of the closest ones. You know what Peter did? He denied Jesus 3 times. He denied Jesus. I don't know the man. I've never been with the man. I'm not associated with him. He completely denied Jesus Christ. If you're reading the Old Testament, you may recall reading about a guy named Samson. He's a pretty hot-headed guy. Just worried about his own desires, doing what he wanted to do, the way he wanted to do it. Act now, think later. That was his motto. Should have been. Hot-headed guy. Even in the middle of his hot-headedness, though, God still was able to use him. Maybe some of you have heard the story of Jonah. Jonah was a guy. He was a preacher. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. Things ain't good there. You need to go preach to these people. I'm fitting to destroy them. Jonah, a godly man, you know what he did? He ran the other way. He completely ran from God. He completely ran away from what God was calling him to do. Maybe you've heard of King David. Pretty popular guy. King David, man after God's own heart, the scripture says. This must be a pretty good guy. You know what he did? He slept with another man's wife and then killed the man to cover it up. Now you may be saying to yourself, why didn't God pick better people than this? I can tell you why. Because there ain't no better people than this. Because we're sinners. And maybe some of these things are our story. Or maybe they're not. Read the Bible, there's a lot of other people God used. And And almost all of them have some major flaw or have some major sin that they commit. Even people who are godly people. Or people when we turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and we celebrate these people. And some people say, well, read the Bible. These people ain't nothing. What kind of God is this? These people are horrible people. Well, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, because that's what the world is full of. That's all that's in the world is sinners. And even these people that we see in Scripture, even though they had all of this sin in their life and they did some horrible things, their sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ. Even though their past is checkered, even though their past is full of things that they probably regretted, there's still hope for them in Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord that even though Paul, as bad as his past was, God still wanted to use him. God still wanted to save his soul. And you know, the same may very well be true for you today. If you hadn't put your faith in Jesus Christ, I don't know what your sin is. I don't know what you struggle with. But I know this, that Jesus Christ wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants you to trust in him and follow him. He wants you to repent and stop living in those ways. Now look, these people are full of flaws just like us. Now I'm not saying that, well, we'll just keep on our sin. These people were godly people and they sin and I sin too, so I'm just going to keep sinning. No, our sin's not good. It's not a good thing when we do these things, but it's a good thing that we serve a good God who forgives bad people. And we praise the Lord for that. So your sins can be forgiven today. And God can still use you today. He still used Jonah. Jonah ran the other way. And then God got a hold of him. Sometimes God gets a hold of us through some pretty tough times. But God got a hold of him, and guess what? He still used Jonah. Jonah went and he preached the message, and all those people were saved. God still used these people. Even though the things they did weren't good, they weren't right, God didn't celebrate that they did wrong. God celebrated that faith that they had and that little righteousness that they had. God doesn't rejoice when we sin today, but He will rejoice if we would seek Him, if we would repent, if we would come to Him today through Jesus Christ. And Paul is a living example of what God can do. He can forgive us of the worst of sins, and He can still use us in a mighty way for the kingdom of God. He says in verse 16, "But I receive mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who believe in him for eternal life." Paul says, look, I was saved for this reason, so that my life would be an example, so that those who come 2,000 years after me will read this scripture and know that I was a wretched and horrible sinner. But God was patient with me. And through Jesus Christ, my sins were forgiven. And by the power of God, God used me to do great things for His kingdom. And Paul says, I am an example for those who come after me. That if God would save me, Paul, the worst of them, that there is hope for you too. And praise the Lord. There is hope for us today. Paul says, I'm living proof that God is with the worst of the worst. So where is our hope today? It's in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And we have to trust Him, because we are sinners and we do struggle. We struggle with the same things that we see some of these that I mentioned just now. And there's so many others that struggle with so many sins in so many ways in Scripture. And how will we overcome them? It will be through Jesus Christ. And life will not always be easy. I'm not telling you today that if you trust in Jesus Christ, your life is always going to be easy and you'll never sin again and you'll never be tempted to sin again. We'll constantly face those temptations. Our flesh will always wage war against our spirit. But when we're grounded in Jesus Christ and we trust in Jesus Christ and we know that our sins are forgiven and we know the will of God and we seek to do the will of God, even if we fail, the Holy Spirit will draw us back to the Lord. So maybe some of us today are in our struggle with sin. Maybe some of you today have lost so many battles to sin, and maybe you've come to church some, but you've never really trusted in Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you today, you are trusting in the Lord, but you know you've sinned in some ways. You need to repent. You need to turn from those ways. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you today, you need to listen. I want to read one final verse here in Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 25. If you want to flip, you can. If not, you can listen carefully. Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 25. Now, Paul, we just talked about, he's a man who's saved by grace. But even though he was a man who's saved by grace, listen to these words that he writes in Romans chapter 7. Listen to his struggle and see if you can relate to this possibly. Verse 18. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but it is the sin that lives in me. So I discover this principle. When I want to do what is good, evil is with me. For in my inner self, I joyfully agree with God's law. But I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. Now, can we relate to that? Maybe you can, maybe you can. But that's kind of our struggle, is that we know that we want to do good so many times. We want to do good. We desire to do good. We know what the Word of God says is good and what God's commands are. But then we have to struggle because there's a part of our flesh that just draws us back to that sinful thing, that vice that we have, that sin that so easily ensnares us. And it's just a constant battle that we are just in, probably for every one of us, daily. That we want to do good, and even though we want to do good, we do bad. Even though we want to keep our mouth shut, we open it. Even though we want to love people, we end up harboring hatred toward them. All of these things, it's just a battle every day. Even for the Christian, even for the one who knows God, even for the Apostle Paul, who had encountered Jesus Christ, whose life had been changed, he says, I still have this struggle because I want to do good so bad and I fail. And maybe that's some of us today. You come into this building today, and you've been struggling last week and struggling last month or struggling for a lifetime, and there's something in you and you say, I want to do good and I'm tired of failing. Well, there's hope for us, but only in Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says in verse 24. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this dying body? Perhaps that's been your heart. Perhaps that's been your prayer. God, I am worthless. God, I am wretched. God, I'm tired to give an end to the flesh and the sin. God, I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of failing. God, who will help me? Who will rescue me? There's so many people in this world, and maybe some of you here or some watching online, there's so many people in this world who are saying today, who's going to rescue me? Where will my hope come from? Where is my help in this world? What a wretched man am I? Who will help me? Listen to what Paul says in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And why does he say that? Because Paul knows, as we see in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. that even though we struggle with our sin and sometimes we fail in our sin and we are wretched men and wretched women today, Paul knows that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Do you know that truth today? That He came to save the worst of the worst. He came to save those who were just religious. He came to save those who are horrible and doing horrible things. He came to save any who are apart from Him. He has been patient with you. And maybe today the Lord wants you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And maybe you realize it for the first time. Maybe you realize you were no better than the Apostle Paul. That you've come to church a lot, you do all the religious things, but you've never encountered Jesus Christ. And maybe today, through the Word of God, you have encountered Jesus Christ. Maybe today in your struggle with sin, you have failed so many times and you wonder where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heavens and earth. Your help and your hope come through Jesus Christ. Are you following Jesus today or are you trusting in Jesus today? If not, I would hope that you would repent of your sins this morning. That you would ask the Lord to forgive you. That you would seek to serve Him and follow Him. That you would know that you are not worthless. God loves you, that God cares for you. And no matter how horrible your sin may be, it is not too big for the blood of Jesus Christ to cover. Let's pray. God, we come to You today. We thank You for Your Word. God, I pray that maybe there's some in here that don't know Jesus. Maybe they know a little bit about Your Word. Maybe they come to church some and they realize today, God, that they've never really trusted in Jesus Christ. God, I pray today that they would just humble themselves before You, that they would repent. God, maybe there's some and they're not even very churchy. They just know, God, that there's something that's missing, though, today. I pray, God, that if the Holy Spirit is convicting anybody today, God, that as we sang in a moment, dear Lord, that You just help them to come forward, God, that even now, God, that they would just repent of their sinfulness. That's what Your Word calls us to, God. There's no fancy prayers we have to say. We just have to ask You to forgive us. We just have to repent, dear Lord, and stop living for us and start living for You. We just have to trust that Jesus Christ is Your Son who gave His life on a cross so that our sins could be forgiven. God, maybe there are some here today that have never trusted in You. They've never asked for forgiveness. They've never trusted in Jesus Christ. I pray that today that they would. God, maybe there are some here today and they're just struggling with their sin. Maybe they're Yours, maybe they're not, God. Maybe they're just struggling wherever they are. I pray, God, that You'd give them hope today. That You'd give them strength to not give in to the sin, but know that there is hope to overcome it through Jesus Christ. So, God, I just pray for anybody today that's struggling, whatever their struggle is, that You just meet them where they are. That they would leave with hope from this building today. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.